Leviticus is just, it's so incredible. Because it's all pointing to what Yeshua did for us. Everything in this Leviticus, from all the sacrifices to everything that he had fulfilled, you see Yeshua through this whole book of Leviticus. And it's, what it does, it's giving us the ability and the access to draw near to Yehovah. Amen. That's what he done for us. And it's such an honor and privilege. And I tell you, we'll go ahead and get started, because we always have a lot to talk about. And there ain't nothing secret about it. It's just what it is. That's what's so wonderful about the Torah. It's a lot. And so we'll go ahead and get started. We're on our Torah teachings, understanding God's likes and his dislikes. And it's a Torah portion number 31 and more. And it's Hebrew for speak. And I just, that Hebrew for speak, and I think about that. That he spoke to Moshe often and commanded Moshe often to speak to the children of Israel, or to speak to Aharon, and to speak to the priests, and to speak to his Aharon's kids, his boys. You know, today it's our command that we speak. Just as I hear you say, "Well, man, Moshe had a lot on his plate. We have a lot on our plate." Yes. It's our job to speak his word. Yes. It's a command that we speak the truth. It's not, "Oh man, that was for Moshe back then." No, it's for each and every one of us that is here today. He's commanding us to eat more every opportunity we get. We don't want to miss an opportunity. Moshe never missed the opportunity. When Yehovah told him to speak, he spoke. When he told him not to speak, he didn't speak. But right here, he's commanding him to speak. Moshe, you speak. Speak to the priest. And this Torah portion is incredible. Torah is Leviticus 21:1 through 24:23, and the half Torah is Ezekiel 44:15 through 31. Now I'll read the topics. Brother Scott read them last night, and I'll just go ahead and read them one more time. And this week's portion is the Torah section of Emor. Speak begins with the special laws pertaining to the Kohanim, which is in the plural, which means the priest, to speak to all the priests. The Kohen, the Gadol, the high priest, and the temple service. A Kohen may not become ritual impure through contact with a dead body, save on the occasion of the death of a close relative. And just that right there is incredible. Because, you know, he talks about how you couldn't come in contact. But if it was a close family member, not a cousin, it had to have been a wife, a husband, a child, he made provision for that. But anybody else outside of immediate, you couldn't come in contact with them. You was impure. You was unclean. You was defiled. But yet, for a wife or a husband or a child, mom and dad, he made provision for you to be able to, if you came in contact with him, you wasn't considered defiled or unclean. And he just shows his love to us over and over and over again. It's just incredible. Yeah. A Kohanim may not marry a divorcee or a woman with a presumptuous past. A Kohen Gadol can marry only a virgin. A Kohen with a physical deformity cannot serve in the temple, nor can a deformed animal be brought as an offering. A newborn calf, lamb, or kid must be left with his mother for 7 days before being eligible for an offering. One may not slaughter an animal and its offspring on the same day. The second part of Emor lists the annual callings of holiness. Leviticus 23. We're not going to get to that chapter, but I'll tell you what. The slides are there. Well, I don't think I got that far in Leviticus 23, but a few of them is on the slide presentation. You might want to get it and go through it. The festivals of the Jewish calendar, the weekly Shabbat, the bringing of the Passover offering on 14 Nisan, the 7-day Passover festival beginning on 15 Nisan, the bringing of the Omer offering from the first barley harvest on the second day of Passover, and the commencement on the day of the ninth, the 49th day of counting of the Omer. And this is the season that we're in right now. We are counting the Omer. And it's so important that we continue to count, because we count for a reason. Listen, I know, I'm not going to say all of us, we want that outpouring of the set apart spirit. We need that outpouring of the set apart spirit. And how important it is, listen, it's teaching us patience. One day at a time, you count. Count to 50, because when that 50th day comes, it's going to be powerful. Powerful. I'm expecting that. I'm expecting an outpouring of the set apart spirit like we never had. Because remember, again, it was told to us that just these festivals of this year is going to be something you don't want to miss. You want to make every single one of them. So to me, when I'm counting 50 now, counting 250 to Shavuot, that's going to be a powerful time. And I'm not expecting nothing less. I'm expecting His presence to fill this place like never before. We ain't had it in a long, long time. To where each and every one of us felt it. Now we might have had a little glimpse of it. Different ones might have felt a little something, but for everyone to feel it, that's powerful. And that's what I'm expecting, that everyone feels that this Shavuot come. Cultivating in the festival of Shavuot on the 50th day, in remembrance of Shofar blowing on one Tishri, a Solomon fast day of 10 Tishri, the Sukkot festival, during which we are to dwell in huts for 7 days and take the four kinds, beginning on 15th Tishri, and the immediate following holiday of the 8th day of Sukkot, Shemini Azeret. Next, the Torah discusses the lighting of the menorah in the temple, the showbread, the lechem, hapenim, placed weekly on the table there. It more concludes with the incident of a man executed for blaspheming and the penalties executed. And the penalties for murder, death, and for injuring one's fellow or destroying his property, monetary compensation. So we'll jump down to where Scott left off last night. He left off talking about profaning the name. And there's many ways in profaning His name. We think it's just by cursing and swearing. But when you're not doing what He tells you to do, keeping His annual feast days, we're profaning the name. Mm-hmm. Keeping His Shabbat, we're profaning the name. And He also talked about, you know, about the beard. He mentioned all that last night. You know, some things is, you're like, man, do I really want to talk about that? But you have to. The Torah commanded it. It's not that we make these things up. You know, it's a command. You should have a full beard. You should, you know, just trim it up. Shouldn't have it completely gone. And it is what the meaning is. It's the Torah. We got to deal with it. You know what the Torah does? You wrestle with it. You wrestle with it when it's brought to you. But I added a couple slides this morning. Imagine that. I just, because this whole Leviticus is, it's about His holiness. And how He wants you to be holy. In verse 8, He says, be holy as I am holy. Or be separate as I am separate. And to be separate means it's for us to be holy. His holiness. Because in 21, chapters 21 and 22, it's talking about how the holiness of the priest. Two chapters. In 23, we talk about His holy days. Chapter 23, talking about His holy days. And then chapter 24, talking about the holy place. His holy sanctuary. And how there was things that the priest had to do to keep that place holy. The menorah was in that. The table of showbread was in there. All that was in that holy place. And it's so incredible. So I just added a couple slides because it's from the New Testament, a couple of them. But look what holiness brings. Psalms 93:5. It says, your witnesses has been very trustworthy. What witnesses? This is my question. What witnesses is the psalmist talking about? Your witnesses has been very trustworthy. Set apartness befits your house. O Yehovah, for ever. Set apart is holiness, is appropriate. Holiness is suitable for your house, for his house. And my body, my temple, which is his temple, my body, his temple, is his house.
Mm-hmm.
And he's telling that holiness is appropriate and suitable. Yes. It befits this house.
Mm-hmm.
And in Psalms 93:5, this is just from the One New Man Bible. I'm going to read a couple of verses out of the altar. It's just incredible. Some of the words change, and it just jumps out at you when you. I like it. I love this reading. It says, your testimonies are very sure. Your testimonies are very sure. Holiness becomes your house, Lord, forever. So where has his witnesses or his testimonies ever stopped? Because in Psalm it says forever.
Mm-hmm.
Forever and are very sure.
Mm-hmm.
His Torah is forever. His Tanakh is forever. 1 Peter 1:13, starting verse 13, the call to be holy. We're going to read some stuff out of the New Testament. Therefore, having girded up the loins of your mind, being sober, set your expectation perfectly upon the favor that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Yeshua Messiah. As obedient children. Obedience brings holiness. Obedience sets you on the right path to holiness. It produces holiness. That's the word I was looking for. Obedience produces holiness. Not conforming yourself to the former lust in your ignorance. Instead, as the one who called you is set apart, so you also should become set apart in all behavior. 1 Peter, you come set apart in all behavior. Because it has been written. Look where Peter's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Where is Peter getting this from? Be set apart, for I am set apart.
Leviticus.
Peter's getting this from Leviticus. I left him in there, but it's also, you can also add Leviticus 21, verse 8. Because at the end of verse 8, he says, be set apart, for I am set apart.
Amen.
So Leviticus 44, Leviticus 19, 2. Peter's getting this from. If you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, pass the time of your sojourning in fear, knowing that you are redeemed from your futile behavior, inherited from your fathers, not with what is corruptible, silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Messiah, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, foreknown indeed before the foundation of the world, but manifested in these last times for your sake.
Thank you.
For my sake. Who through him believed in Elohim, who raised him from the dead and gave him esteem, so that your beliefs and expectation are in Elohim. Now that you have cleansed your lives in obeying the truth through the Spirit to unfinished brotherly love, love one another fervently with a clean heart. Now that we have been cleansed, what do? We have to obey the truth. Now that we have been cleansed from our lies and from our fathers, we have a responsibility to be obedient. To be obedient. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the living word of Elohim, which remains forever.
Amen.
1 Peter, which remains forever. How do we struggle with this forever? How do we think that forever means sometimes at an end? Because Yeshua came and did what he did. Forever is forever. I don't know how we struggle with that. flesh is as grass, and all the esteem of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower fails forever. And they quote this verse often. They love this verse. But the word of Elohim remains forever. They quote it, but I don't think they have any understanding of it. His word remains forever. His Torah remains forever. His laws, his full laws remain forever. Mm-hmm. His Shabbat, his feast days remain forever. Mm-hmm. None of that's done away with. First Peter. We're still in First Peter. Forever. Obedience produces holiness. And you can find that in Isaiah 46:3. And this is the word announced as good news to you. This word is announced as good news to you. The temple of the living Elohim. 2 Corinthians 6:14. I'm going to read it in both in two different versions. But we're reading it in our, that we, the scriptures 2009 version. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not become unevenly yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with all and lawlessness? And what fellowship has light with darkness? And what agreement has Messiah with Belial? Or what part does a believer have with an unbeliever? And what union has the dwelling place of Elohim with idols? For you are a dwelling place of the living Elohim. As Elohim has said, I shall dwell in them and walk among them, and I shall be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. Leviticus 26:12, and you can get all these better footnotes. Therefore, come out from among them. Listen to what Shaul was telling us. This is Paul speaking. We just had Peter, now we're talking about Paul. Paul telling us what it takes to be holiness, to be holy before him. Come out from among them and be separate, says Yehovah. Do not touch what is unclean, and I shall receive you. And I shall be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says Yehovah the Almighty. Having then these promises, listen to 2 Corinthians 7:1. That was the end of chapter 6. Now it's talking about having these are the promises that we just read. Having then these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of the flesh and spirit, perfecting set apartness in the fear of Elohim. Perfecting set apartness, perfecting holiness in the fear of Elohim. Let me read it out of this One New Man Bible. I read it this morning. I said, well, I'm going to I'm going to read it. So it was 6:14, starting with 2 Corinthians 6:14. Listen to the words he used in this Bible. You must not ever become unevenly yoked with unbelievers. You must not ever become. For will some mix righteousness and iniquity, or some the fellowship and light with darkness? But with agreement is there Messiah? But what agreement is there Messiah with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? And what agreement can anyone have with idols in a sanctuary of God? For we are a sanctuary of the living God. Just as God said that I shall dwell and I shall walk among them, and I shall be their God, and they shall be my people. On this account, you must immediately come out from the midst of them, and you must be separate from them at once. So from that account, he says, how you come out? Immediately. Does that mean taking time? No, immediately. Listen, when something's of an importance, it's immediately. says the Lord, and you must not ever touch the unclean, then I shall take you in. And I shall be for you a father to you, and you will be for your sons and daughters to me, says the Lord of hosts. In verse 7, verse 1, chapter 7, verse 1. So since we have these promises, beloved, we should cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and of spirit, bringing about holiness and reverent fear of God. Bringing about holiness and the reverent fear of God. But I like how that 14 says, you must not ever become. Ever become. Psalms 29, verse 2. Because now we're about to get where Brother Scott left off about profaning his name. It says, 29:2, ascribe to Yehovah the esteem of his name. Give him the glory and honor that his name deserves. Bow yourself to Yehovah in the splendor of set-apartness. Bow to him in the splendor of holiness. That's what set-apartness is, holiness. And look what the One New Man Bible has. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the adornment of his holiness. Give him the glory due his name. Listen, his name is all the glory is due to his name. For so many reasons. For the main one, because of what his son did for us. To give us this access back. To be able to draw near back to him. Because without that, we couldn't even come near to him. We was finished, done, over. Without what Yeshua did for us. It was no drawing near to Elohim. We was done. How they say, put a fork in him, you're done. It was over for us. But give him the glory and honor his name is due. Don't profane it. And profane is on a large scale. We focus on one. You know, the swearing and the cursing, we think that's, stay away from that, that's profane. But how about just the keeping his Shabbat? That's the first thing. Keep my Shabbat, honor, remember. You profaning it, his name when you're not doing it. We don't want to hit that though. We just want to keep, I'm not cursing. I'm not swearing. But all those other ones is profaning his name. Not keeping his feast days. Not being obedient. Profaning the name. When misusing his name, or when you make it common, or represent him wrongly, and allowing that which is strictly forbidden to be lived out without regard or reverence, for his set apart instruction, we profane his name. When you present him wrongly, meaning when you say this is what he said and he didn't even say it, you present him wrongly. When you saying we can worship on any day, you present him wrongly. When you proclaiming that Sunday, this is set apart day, you present him wrongly. We can't worship him on any day. We can. But there's a day that he set apart that we should come and worship him on. This set apart day. We can, by all means, that's what he wants. By all means, he wants us to worship him every single day. But on his Shabbat is his command. That you worship him. Make sure you can worship me on anything, but make sure you worship me on Shabbat. Mm-hmm. You make sure of that. You make sure you worship me on my feast days. Oh. Reverence for his set apart instruction, we profane his name. Or if we render his name of no effect, by not using it at all, but rather substitute euphemisms or translations or pagan inherited titles for his actual name, Yehovah, then we too wound or profane his set apart name. The priest had a job to do, and that was to tend to the service in the tabernacle and bring the fire and the bread to Yehovah. The priest had a job to do. And Brother Scott read that, I think it's 1 Peter 2, about us being royal priesthood, set apart nations. No difference, we have a job to do. This word is very applicable for us today. Very. It's not back then. It's still alive today as much as alive it was back then. Mm-hmm. Says it never fades. It's forever. We have to apply it to our lives each and every day. Fire, as we know, represents the presence of Yehovah. And the bread is symbolic of his word that came down to earth as daily provision for his set-apart people, which is ultimately fulfilled in Messiah, the bread of life, the Word made flesh, who came and dwelt among us, and unless we eat of him, we have no part in him. And therefore, the bread brought before Yehovah also represents the body or community, and the priest would bring a unified body of Israel into the presence of Yehovah, and then teach them the needed unity of Yehovah to his people. So when we see this strict and very serious set-apart call on the priest, let us be reminded, as stated above in Kepha, that we, as divided Messiah, are his priesthood. And so be set apart, for he is set apart. And do not be found to be profaning his set-apart name in any way, means, or form. Let's not be found in profaning his set-apart name in any way, means, or form. It says it was strict and very serious, set-apart calling for the priest. And it's a very strict and set-apart calling for us today. Nothing has changed. Nothing changed. The pattern of the priesthood of ministering before Yehovah is the clear pattern for us as believers in Yeshua today. For by his life, death, and resurrection, the way was made possible for all to approach a set-apart Elohim. Hallelujah. Because the way was made for us to approach Elohim because of what Yeshua did. I'm telling you, if we slow down and just read Leviticus, take our time, we'll see Yeshua through this whole book of Leviticus and how he gave us that access back to the Father. And therefore, the ministry of the tabernacle is still the same. For we in Messiah are the tabernacle of the Most High, and now that we have entered through the door, which is Messiah, we have a strict protocol to follow in him, in how we are to draw near our set-apart Elohim, to our set-apart Elohim, and walk upright in his kingdom. The same strict protocol back then is the same strict protocol for us today. The bride of Yeshua walks obediently in the covenant of promise, which we have been brought near by his blood, and therefore it is vital that we continually remind ourselves to live set-apart lives unto Messiah. Continually remind ourselves that we need to live set-apart lives. That we need to live holiness lives to Elohim. He says, continue to remind yourself. Why? Because sometimes we slip up. Sometimes we got a little shortcoming. That's what it is. That's just how life is. We're going to fall short. We're going to come up short a lot of days. But what we do, he says, we can come to his throne boldly. Boldly, why? Because of what Yeshua did for us. He seen that. He knew we was going to have shortcomings. He knew we was going to have faults. He knew that there's going to be days that holiness would not be producing in us like it should be. But he says, I'm going to fix that for you. I'm going to send someone to where you can have that access. You can come to me boldly. That you can live these set-apart lives. But we need to be reminded of that. And the Torah, that's what the Torah does. The Torah reminds you of this. Leviticus 21:7. They do not take a woman who is a whore or a defiled woman. Still talking about the priest. Chapter 21 and chapter 22 is all about dealing with the priest and how what he needs to do to keep himself holy. And we are priests. So chapter 1 and 22 and chapter 22 is talking about us and what we need to do to make sure we keep ourselves holy. And they do not take a woman put away from her husband, for he is set apart to his Elohim. And you shall set him, and you shall set him apart, for he brings the bread of your Elohim. He is set apart to you. For I, Yehovah, setting you apart, am set apart. This is what Peter was quoting. Peter was quoting this very thing, this very passage of scripture right here. For I, Yehovah, setting you apart, am set apart. For I, Yehovah, am holy. You need to be holy. Verse 7 speaks of how marriage is held in the highest regard, especially for the priesthood. A priest was not allowed to marry a whore or defiled woman or one who has been put away by her husband. Marriage is a picture of that union between Yehovah and his chosen bride, Yisrael, and is also referred to as the mystery. For what we must realize is that every single marriage has the opportunity to represent the true marriage between us and our Elohim. Mm-hmm. A priest was not allowed to marry a whore or defiled woman. What we see right here is that Yeshua is our high priest. And there's going to be a day that his father's going to tell him, go get your bride. So we have to make sure that we are not the whore or being defiled. He's not coming back for that. He's coming back for a pure holiness, pure bride, set apart bride. The Hebrew word for whore is zana, Strong's H2181, which means be a harlot, commit fornication, adulterous, prostitute, and unfaithful. And herein lies the very clear call for true set-apart believers to not be joined to a whore. This is a literal command as well as being a clear metaphor for not being joined to following the luring ways of the sinful world and the wicked temptations of Satan. To not follow. That's why he tells us, come out from among them. You don't do what they do. You don't act the way they act. You don't talk with the way they talk. You don't eat the way you look. You don't look the way they look. You don't look the way they look. You look weird. You look different. So the world says you look weird. But he don't tell you look weird. He says you're beautiful. You're beautiful by your holiness. Amen. Look at Proverbs 23:27. For a whore is a deep pit, and a strange woman is a narrow well. Proverbs 29:3. He who loves wisdom gladdens his father, but a companion of whores destroys wealth. Psalms 73:27. For look, those who are far from you perish. You shall cut off all those who are whoring, who go away whoring, away from you. These pastors are talking about whoring, because whoring is going in the wrong direction. It says, all those who go whoring away from you. You go going away from the Father, you're going in the wrong direction. He's telling them, don't go that way. Don't follow the world. The world is whoring. The world is going away from me. Listen, we see it every, we live in it. We are living it. We see it every day unfolding right before our eyes. They are going the wrong way. They are driving themselves far away from the presence of Yehovah every single day. Recognizing that we are to be a faithful priesthood, we are also able to recognize how we are to be a faithful bride unto our master and husband, to whom we have been joined to him by his blood. A wife of a priest is to be reverent. Listen, he's talking about us. We are that bride. We are that wife. We are to be reverent. Not false, accusers, server, and trustworthy in every way. 1 Timothy 3:11. Hosea was told to do the opposite of this command. Why? And listen, why he's telling you to be sober. Listen, you can't trust a drunk person. That's why he's telling you to be sober. You go ahead and try it. Try to trust a drunk person and see where that gets you. That's why he's telling us you be sober. Not false accusers. We need to be trustworthy. To show just how defiled Yisrael had become and reveal how serious her spiritual condition was, it is only the blood of Messiah that can cleanse all unrighteousness. And so by his blood, he has cleansed for himself a bride who was defiled. This is important for us to understand, as not just anybody can be the bride of Messiah. I know that's being taught in a lot of churches today, that anybody can be the bride. But the Torah specifically tells you what it takes to be a bride. Leviticus tells you what it takes to be a bride. Just in Leviticus. But the whole Torah lets you know what it takes to be a bride. Not just anybody can be a bride of Messiah. He's not accepting anything. He is accepting holiness. He is accepting set apartness. He's not accepting, you know, unclean, profane. He's not accepting that. This is important for us to understand, as not just anybody can be the bride of Messiah. Only those who have been washed in his blood through immersion in water and the eating of the Pesach meal. Shaul also warned of the union of a believer with a defiled partner, and reminds us that we must not be unequally yoked, for we as children of light must not be yoked with darkness. Now what we also must realize is that we have all sinned and fallen short. First of all, let's all realize that. We definitely have all sinned and fallen short. We have all warred and defiled ourselves. And therefore, Yeshua had to die and be raised again in order to first cleanse his defiled bride, who had whored after the nations, and then be able to take up an undefiled, set-apart wife, now cleansed in his blood from all defilement. We have been cleansed by his blood from all defilement. So should we continue in that? No. Scripture tells us Yehovah forbids that you continue in undefilement. What we also learn from this today is that while many of us may query if we can marry someone who has defiled themselves before marriage, we must note that despite a person's past, this gets good, despite a person's past, because we want to look at where they come from. what they did. Sometimes we can't get past a person's past. We can't get past it. Look, the enemy reminds them enough of their past. They don't need us reminding them of their past. Listen, they deal with it on themselves. We don't need to help them. But listen, but make sure that we ensure that the person, did I skip something? Oh, it moved, huh? It moved because I moved. What we also learn from this today is that while many of us may query if we can marry someone who has defiled himself before marriage, we must note that despite a person's past, if they call upon the name that saves, Yeshua, and are immersed in him, and washed and cleansed by his saving blood, sacrifice that was once for all, then that person becomes a new creature.
Hallelujah.
That person becomes a new creature. So who are we to remind them of their past?
That's right. That's right.
Like we don't have one. You remember y'all's? But you easily forget y'all's, so you think you want to forget y'all's, but you don't remember someone else's. Remember y'all's. Because if they call on that same name that saved you, who are we, you, me, who are we to remind them? And the person washed and cleansed by the same blood sacrifice that was once for all, then that person becomes a new creature. Where the old has gone away and the new has come, and all defilement is washed away.
Amen.
All defilement is washed away. That same name that saved you, the same name that saved them. No difference. No matter what they've done could have been 10 times worse than yours. It don't matter. We said this many, many times before. Sin is not greater or lesser. Sin is sin. Ain't no my sin was bigger than your sin, or my sin was lesser than your sin. Sin is sin. So if they call upon that name that saved, guess what? They are saved and undefiled, just like you are. And so, having said that, we must take marriage very seriously and ensure that we do not enter into a marriage covenant that is defiled from the start. But make sure that we ensure that the person we are to become one with is also walking in Messiah. Make sure that when you become one, that person is walking in Messiah just like you walk in that. So important. And realize that as one in him, the responsibility to remain in a set-apart life is critical. To remain in him and to live a set-apart life, a life of holiness, is very, very critical. Sadly, there are many today who have entered into a marriage that is or has become unequally yoked for various reasons. So let us see what Shaul tells us in these circumstances. 1 Corinthians 7, 10-16. And to the married I command, not I, but the master. A wife should not separate from her husband. But if she is indeed separated, let her remain unmarried or be restored to favor with her husband. And let a husband not send away a wife. Many know Yeshua, Yehovah, had to divorce Israel. He had to. He didn't want to, he had to because of what they'd done. They defiled his name. They bowed to a golden calf. He had to. He didn't have a choice. Because his words remain forever. He doesn't change for no one. And to the rest I say that the master, if any brother has an unbelieving wife, and she thinks well to live with him, let him not send her away. And a woman who has an unbelieving husband, and he thinks well to live with her, let her not send him away. So just if you marry and your husband is not with you or your wife is not with you, that don't give you the right to send them away. Don't send them away. For the unbelieving husband has been set apart in the wife. The unbelieving husband is what? Has been set apart in the wife. And the unbelieving wife has been set apart in the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean. But now they are set apart. And if the unbelieving one separates, let him separate himself. A brother or a sister has not been enslaved in such matters. But Elohim has called us to peace. For how do you know, O wife, whether you shall save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you shall save your wife? Verse 9. And when the daughter of any priest profanes herself by whoring, she profanes her father, she is burned with fire. When the daughter of any priest profanes herself by whoring, she profanes her father, she is burned with fire. Verse 9 warned that even by the whoring of a daughter, a priest is defiled. And Titus 1:6 tells us that the children of a leader are to be believers, that are not to be found being accused of loose behavior or unruly. Children of a leader are to be believers, that are not to be found being accused or loose behavior or unruly. Listen, we are children of the Most High. Apply this to our life today. We should not be found accused of loose behavior or unruly, meaning we should not be found doing whatever we want to do. Loose behavior. I do what I want. Not if he's your father and you his children. You quick to claim it. You quick to say it, my father. We quick to pray it, my father. But yeah, we won't walk around loosely around here. And unruly. Says you're going to be judged with fire. We can continue to do this all we want, but there's going to be a day that's coming, we're going to be judged by fire. This is how serious Elohim takes the role of headship of the home and leadership in the community. For even the priest's children are to live set apart lives, as the sons will inevitably become priests, and daughters are expected to live true set apart lives. If a daughter was found to be whoring, she would have profaned her father, who would not be able to serve in the tabernacle, and therefore she would be burned with fire. It was serious back then. It is serious for us today. No difference. No difference. Now, when we see this scripture, we must recognize that as harsh as it sounds, because this literally happened. They were burned with fire, literally. We shall see the punishment of this at the end of the judgment after the second resurrection, where those daughters, nations, who are not found in the book of life and have horror shall be judged with fire. Shall be judged with fire. It is only through the fire that the lineage of the one who whore can be purged. What we must recognize is that the mother harlot has had many daughters who are not walking set apart lives and are whoring after man's ways and defile the set apart name of Elohim. and will face their just punishment should they not repent. If the nations, the daughters, don't repent, they're going to face the same judgment that these daughters faced back then. We're going to be judged with fire. We're going to be judged by His word. If we don't repent. Once again, Hosea is a picture of the daughter who was born to him and was called Lo-Ruhamah, which means not love or have no compassion, and represents the daughters of Horem, who are to strive with their mother and come out from her and remove the name of the Baals off of her lips and call upon Yehovah, her husband, and he will take her who had no compassion as a bride to himself in righteousness, as he shows compassion upon his repentant bride. He shows compassion upon his repentant bride. He's not out to destroy us. He's not out to kill us. He's not out to say we're finished, we're done. No, he's out to love us. He's out to give us second chances. Some of us third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh chances. Not just second, multiple. That's how much He loves us. And He's willing to forgive us multiple times. Not just one or two times, multiple. All we have to do is repent. And mean it. Mean it. Verse 10, Leviticus 21:10. And the high priest among his brothers, on whose head the anointing oil was poured, and who is ordained to wear the garments, does not unbind his head nor tear his garments. In verse 10, the high priest ordained to wear the garments, and who has had the anointing oil poured on his head, was not allowed to unbind his head or tear his garments. The high priest was not allowed to do that. And Brother Scott made mention of that last night. How Kepha did that when they brought him before the high priest. Listen, and he shouldn't even have been the high priest, because he had to come from the Levitical priesthood. And he wasn't. Some say his money is what got him there. But even so, he wasn't, but he was in that position, he still should have never rent his garments. Still should have. Even though he was holding that position and shouldn't have been there, he still should have never did that. Unbinding of the head speaks of having the anointed authority loosened from one's head. And was a strict command for the high priest to not take the anointing for granted, and so allow his anointing and authority to be trampled upon. And tearing of the garments was a sign of mourning. And as we know, not even Aaron was permitted to mourn. Not even Aaron was permitted to tear his garments. And he watched his two sons die. He witnessed it. And he still couldn't do it. And authority to be trampled upon, and tearing of the garments was a sign of mourning. And as we know, not even Aaron was permitted to mourn for the loss of his two sons, who were killed right before his eyes. The Hebrew word that is translated as unbind comes from the root word parah, Strong's 865:44, which means let go, let alone, lack of restraint, uncover, naked, neglect, out of control. And it's the same word that is translated as let loose in Exodus 32:25. And Moshe saw that the people were let loose. For Aharon had let them loose to their shame among their enemies. This is when he comes down from off the mountain. And he gets down there and he sees them doing these things that they were commanded not to do. And Aaron, the high priest, had let them out of control. He had let them loose. Lack of restraint. He uncovered. They were naked. We see the clear picture of the state of the people. They were naked and lack restraint as they simply followed after the flesh and what initially to Aaron may have seemed like a keeping the peace in camp by allowing them to do what they wanted actually turned out to be the reality of him not standing up for what is right. And that's what so many leaders in our church world today, whatever classification they want to put them under, bishops, pastors, you know, prophets, whatever you want to, doctors, whatever you want to name yourself, you're allowing these people to be naked, lack of restraint, loosened, do what they want to do. Why? Because you want to keep the peace. You don't want to speak the truth. You want to keep the peace. Let's not say that. Let's not do that. Because we fear what people are going to say. We fear people that's going to walk out. Let them walk out. I'd rather them walk out than him walk out. I know that. Because when he walks out, there is no protection over my life. There's no one I can call on to heal me when I'm going through it. They can't heal me. I don't care how much money they got. The woman with the blood issue spent all her money. All of it. Went to many doctors, many physicians. None of them can heal her. But when the master walked by her way, and she grabbed hold of his Zeke. The power that we drew from him healed her instantly. Instantly. But no, we worry about what people are going to say. Who's going to walk out if I'm telling them the truth? Who's going to walk out when I tell them they can't eat what they need, what they eat? Or they can't worship on that day that they're worshiping on? We fear that. Not here. Not here, we don't fear at all. It is what it is, and it's going to be what it's going to be. Amen. But we have a remnant. So glad y'all are here. We have a remnant that don't matter. If he says it, we're going to do it. If he like it, we like it. If he love it, we love it. Understand his likes and his dislikes. Teach us to love what you love and hate what you hate. Aaron may have seemed like a keeping the peace in camp by allowing them to do what they wanted. Actually turned out to be the reality of him not standing up for what is right. And so many fall into this trap today. Because people don't want to stand up for what is right. And what Pastor always tells us, if you don't stand for something, you fall for anything. We got to stand for what is right. And, you know, sometimes you don't want to say what the Torah says. But you got to say it. It's the truth. And it's what is right. And it's what produces holiness in your life. Set apartness. As they prefer to keep quiet for the sake of peace. And this we cannot do. We cannot do it. And when I mean we, I don't mean just the pastor and the pastor pastor. And the guys who come up here and present the word also. Each and every last one of us in here. We cannot do it for the sake of peace. We cannot do it because I don't know what my children are going to think. We cannot do it because I don't know what my wife or my husband going to think. Or what my friend going to think. What my mom and dad going to think. What my brother and sister going to think. He said he come to bring a sword among all that. Mm-hmm. We can't be worried about what they're going to say or do. for truth and guard it at all costs and allow no breach in the camp, so to speak. At the time of the trial of Yeshua, the preceding high priest, Caiaphas, tore his garments and declared that, because Caiaphas speaking, tore his garments and declared that Messiah had blasphemed. And so by his actions, Caiaphas broke this very command. And what becomes very clear is that we may have in fact been an illegitimate high priest. That he may have in fact been an illegitimate high priest, which was supposed to be passed down from father to son. However, at the time of Messiah, the position often went to the highest bidder. The man with the most money. Instead of coming from his line of order that the priesthood should come from, no. We're going to bid it off. That's how Caiaphas got in this position. As the Romans, no different than some churches today. They don't let Jehovah put people in position. No, we're going to the highest bidder. We want the man up there speaking that got the most monies. We want the person in the church who can dictate sometimes what he needs to be saying. Because we can't lose him, because if we lose him, we lose that offering. Come on. We lose that offering. How are we going to stay afloat? How are we going to keep the lights on? How are we going to buy stuff for the itty bitties in the nurseries? Keeping the peace. How about we don't worry about that, let him worry about that. We just stand up for what is right. We speak the truth. As the Romans controlled and had absurd authority over the temple and would appoint whom they wanted. Control. This tearing of the garments of the high priest is a powerful picture of the change of the priesthood that took place. The change of the priesthood that took place. Listen, when you change things that Yehovah put in order, set in order, it never works out when you try to change it. When you lead it, when you follow his prescribed method of how we should do things, it works perfectly. It works perfectly. But when we try to do it, never comes out right. Likewise, for tearing his garments, rendering him unfit to be in the position of high priest. And this can certainly explain the part of the changing of the priesthood to the order of Melchizedek, as described clearly in the book of Hebrews. Leviticus 21, verse 11. Nor come near any dead body, nor defile himself for his father or his mother. In verse 11, we are further told that the high priest was not to come near any dead body, nor defile himself for his father or mother. And we are further able to understand the words of Messiah, who told of his taught ones to let the dead bury the dead. In Matthew 8:21-22. And another of his taught ones said to him, Master, first let me go and bury my father. But Yeshua said to him, follow me and leave the dead to bury their own. Leave the dead to bury their own. In some studies, it says that he made that statement, not that his father was already dead yet, but he was sick. And he wanted to go over there for his inheritance. That way, when his father died, he began to collect his inheritance. But Yeshua told him, you let them bury their own dead. Listen, you got to follow me at all costs. Hmm. All costs. Don't worry about the inheritance that your father might be leaving you. Worry about your inheritance that you obtained at the end. When this race is finished and done, worry about that inheritance. In this teaching, it is clear that this taught one who wanted to follow Messiah was not mourning the death of his father, but rather that he wanted to return home and stay there until his father died so that he could get an inheritance. And how sad is that? That that's the only reason why you want to go? Your father's dying, but you're worried about your inheritance? That happens today. Yeah, they got people like that today. We live in among them. Sad to say, but it's the truth. I heard with my own ears one day in a meeting when I was at work, a guy said that verbally. About his own mom. I wanted to choke him. I did. I'm gonna be honest with you. I couldn't believe he said it, but it made me angry that he said that. Because you know why? Because I think about people that lost their mom at a young age, that would do anything to have their mom sitting with them or talking to them, be able to call them on the phone, text, anything. But yeah, you gonna make a statement like that? I did, I got angry. Can't even tell you I didn't sin now because I wanted to choke him. I did. Made me mad. This Tartman's father may still have lived for many years to come, which would have delayed the Tartman from following the master straight away. And when Messiah tells him that he sought, that he should let the dead bury the dead, he was making it clear that the cost of following him means forsaking all. The cost of following Messiah is forsaking all, even one's inheritance. We are the body of Messiah, and so being his body, we recognize that we, as being a member of the body of the high priest, we too need to recognize that we must not become defiled for our natural relatives. We are not to become defiled. What? Who? Because of our natural relatives. So what are they doing what they're doing? So what are they saying what they're saying? So what are they eating what they're eating? You are not to do it. Don't become defiled because of them. You stand up for what's right. Stand up for what's true. And you count the cost. This means that when we follow and serve the Master in spirit and truth, that we must count the cost and realize that we cannot go back to old ways or try to hold on to those things that might cause us to be unfit for a complete set apartness. That will cause us to be unfit for complete holiness. We cannot go back to those ways. Cannot. And listen, you might have went back. But what we just talked about a few slides ago, about that person's past, if that person has come to realize that, hey, I'm tired of living with in them old ways, and I'm calling on the name that saves, I'm cleansed from all undefiled. All. So you're not too far gone. You're not lost. You don't have no hope. We have hope. We have hope in Messiah. That's what he died for, to give us hope. Leviticus 21, verse 12. Nor go out of the set apart place, nor profane the set apart place of his Elohim. For the sign of dedication of the anointing oil of his Elohim is upon him. I am Yehovah. Verse 12, with this instruction given to not go out of the set apart place or not to profane the name of Elohim, for the sign of dedication is upon him, we are once again reminded that we can never stop being set apart. We can never stop being set apart. As our lives must be continually set apart as we hear God and do his instructions without compromise. Amen. We hear God and do his instructions without compromise. His sign of dedication is upon us, as we are told that his Sabbath is a sign between us and him forever. His Sabbath. That's our sign. How do you want to know? His set apart people, his people of holiness, see the one that's keeping his Shabbat. See the one that's keeping his Sabbath. All of them. Not just Shabbat, Saturday, Friday night, Saturday morning. I'm talking about all his Shabbats. With an S, plural. All his feast days. Therefore, we recognize that we are to never compromise the Sabbath, not even for... Oh, I'm going to fall on it back again.
Okay. That's right.
Not even for family. Because, you know, family be the first ones to throw stuff at it. The dark, whatever you want to call it. They'd be the first one to pitch it towards you. It's family. But it says, not even for them you compromise. We have seen today how one's own family may call for a set-apart believer to compromise the Sabbath. Why are y'all doing that on Saturday? Friday night too? For a set-apart believer to compromise the Sabbath or any other commands. You know what's funny? Well, not that's funny. You know what don't make no sense? Is that they this one right here, commandment number 4 about keeping the Sabbath, somehow Yeshua delivered those, set them free from that, but they want to hold the other 9. Okay. You confuse me. Well, I'm not confused. You're confused. You confuse yourself. Because I'm not confused. So you're telling me he delivered you from what? And all the other 9 you still got to do? Come on now. Do you believe the words that are coming out of your mouth? That's what I want to ask you sometimes. Do you believe the words that are coming out of your mouth? Or are you serious? So I can't kill. I can't steal. I can't commit adultery. But I can break the Sabbath. Oh boy. Yeah, when you go on and keep believing that, brother, mama, daddy, sister, whoever, aunt, uncle, because that's nonsense. Mm-hmm. We have seen today how one's own family may call for a set-apart believer to compromise the Sabbath or any other commands for the sake of a family event or crisis. And in doing so, they are calling for a set-apart priest of the Most High to take off the sign of dedication, which he forbids. Can I read event or crisis one more time? Event or crisis. Oh, boy. We know what events or crisis is. I ain't got to give you a definition for events. Maybe I should. Maybe not. Yeah, let's just pastor said it. It is what it is. I'm going to stand up for the truth. An event. If a family member's joining an event, a birthday party, that's an event. On a Shabbat. Hmm. You are calling, they are calling for you, who is a set apart priest of the Most High, to take off your sign of dedication. I'll see you on the next go round. Better yet, just go out on Facebook and watch it after service. But I can't take off my sign of dedication. I'm not compromising this set apart date. They are calling for a set apart priest of the Most High to take off the sign of dedication, which is clearly forbidden. And it is time for true worshipers to take heed of this clear instruction, to not take off the sign of their dedication to the Master and up to the Master and his truth. Let me see where I'm at, brother. You gave me 5 minutes, like 2-3 minutes ago.
I'm sorry.
I don't know. We'll just see. The rest of this chapter gives clear instruction of how we as high priests in his kingdom are to be found to be spotless in Messiah, in whom there is no defect or deformity. And what this again pictures for us is the wonderful work of Messiah, the perfect Lamb, who has enabled us to draw near to Elohim. No offspring of Aharon, the priest who had a defect, was able to draw near to Elohim and bring the required offerings made by fire of the bread of Elohim. Now, they was required, they couldn't present it, but they could eat of it. They just couldn't present it. Listen, Yeshua couldn't present himself. He had to be spotless, perfect, no deformity, because he would have never been the perfect Lamb. He would have never been that sacrifice. He couldn't have presented himself in the tabernacle of Yehovah, in the most holies. Couldn't. All this stuff pictures Messiah. All of it. No offspring of Aharon, the priest who had a defect, was able to draw near to Elohim and bring the required offering made by fire of the bread of Elohim. A son with a defect may eat of the bread of Elohim, but was not allowed to bring it near. This is a marvelous picture of us in showing us that we, who are found to have defects and deformities, due to our sinful nature and have fallen short, are unable to draw near in our own strength. However, as we partake in the bread of Elohim, that is Messiah, we are brought near as we remain in him, our perfect high priest.
Thank you. Thank you.
Because of what Yeshua did, I am able to present myself. Because he, the price that he paid, deliver me from all defilement, all my deformities, all my sins. Because of him, I am able to draw near to Elohim. The only way to draw near to Elohim and present our bodies as living sacrifices is by Messiah. And again, this chapter proves clearly that there is only one way, and only by that which is perfect, Yeshua our Messiah. I'll stop right there. You're about to get that new CD on. I know you was. I seen you reaching for it. We'll stop right there. That our only way to draw near is because is through Yeshua Messiah. He took my deformity, my deformity, my shortcomings, my defilement, all those things. So I'm able to draw near to Elohim. Boldly I can come to his throne. Let me jump aside, it's right there. Brother Chad, whoever got Wednesday, it's going to be good. Be here. Be here Wednesday to finish it. Not all, not to finish it. He ain't going to finish it. To pick up where we left off. Amen. He's so good to us. Let's stand.